today, we have three guests. They're going to share their insights and their thoughts about fundraising in the COVID era and in general, and how you can prepare to be a better fundraiser. I'd like to introduce a good friend and veteran fundraiser, Stephanie Ladera. She is with the Humane Society of Silicon Valley in California, and she's their Chief Philanthropy and Community Development Officer. Also, I'd like to introduce Jenny Miller, who is with the Maui Humane Society, and she's their Director of Development. And we're also fortunate to have Stephen Wheeler, who is Vice President of Client Strategy and Success for One and All. So welcome, everyone. How are you all doing? Stephanie, I'm going to start with you. How's everything going?
Doing well. It's warm in California and great weather and no traffic, which is awesome.
Okay, that is amazing. After living 6 years in Southern California, to think that there's no traffic in California, right? It's surreal. I love it. Jenny, you're in Hawaii. And by Hawaii, I mean Maui. What has your life changed a lot because of COVID?
Yes. Oh, it has had a tremendous impact. Not so much on my life personally, work goes on, but to our island and to the economy here, which is completely tourism based, it's had a pretty tremendous impact on our unemployment rate and just a complete shutdown of basically the entire island. So yeah, we've had a pretty huge impact.
So now is the time to jump right in and start a new career in fundraising, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect timing. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you did, and thanks for being with us. And our final guest is Stephen Wheeler. Stephen is the vice president of, I want to say it's Client Strategy and Success for One and All.
That's right.
Is that your real title? Because that's kind of a cool title, I have to say.
That's my real title, and it is a really cool title. And yeah, thank you so much for letting me join you. So I have three daughters, and you make me a hero with two of them today by being here with you. So my middle daughter is 18. She's a senior this year. She's a volunteer at our Kansas City Zoo. And due to COVID, she can't go in. She can't do any of that. So instead, she is doing an internship at a bird rescue, and she's also working at a pet store just to get all that pet stuff out. So I am her hero for getting to talk with you today, and thank you so much. And my youngest daughter, my office assistant, is a little Brussels Griffin sleeping down here, and I hope she stays quiet for us today. But, otherwise she might make a guest appearance here, and, I'm just so excited to be here. Thank you.
No, it's been a really intense year. And if you're a veteran fundraiser or new to fundraising, it's been hard to predict what was going to happen. I think first steps, people were thinking the worst in terms of, a downturn in the economy and how was this going to affect fundraising. Stephanie, what's it been like? How have your funders responded in this environment?
Well, I think a more interesting question in this scenario is how have the fundraisers responded? Because our funders they're so varied. Each one of them is so individual and different. But I think for the team, one of the things that's been really interesting to me is how each of us has responded to what's going on and how we have really doubled down on learning at this time and being willing to try different things and failing fast and just trying our hardest to think about how do we approach our work given the state that everyone else is in. So, a good example of that is in talking with some donors right now, some of our supporters have zero bandwidth to think about supporting our work, and others are just absolutely starved for connection. And so how do we navigate that? How do we spend our time to the highest purpose for the organization? And so we're really focusing on learning, and we're focusing on staying connected. And I think a lot of people are doing that. And we've also been surprised with some terrific fundraising results. It was pretty hairy there for the first quarter and a little bit scary. Wrapping up December, we're feeling much better about the environment than we were prior. So that's good news.
That's excellent news. How long have you been in fundraising, Stephanie?
I've been in fundraising for 17 years. I just had my 15-year anniversary here at HSSV, which is very difficult to imagine. And then prior to the fundraising arena and animal welfare, I was in sales and marketing and management. So I have a similar background to the other folks on the call today.
Well, congratulations for your 15-year anniversary at the Humane Society of Silicon Valley. And I am elated that everyone can benefit from your expertise and perspective today. Thank you. Jenny,
thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Jenny, let's talk to you there in Maui. What's this been like? How have you responded? What have your funders been saying to you?
Our funders have been incredibly supportive. We've definitely noticed that we're still having even actually an increase in number of donations, but the size of the donation has decreased. And we've had because of a lot of our sponsors are local, a lot of our corporate sponsorships, they have had to really scale back. We've had to put a lot of our sort of partnerships on hold, just because the island is so tourism based and literally everything was shut down. And so we've had a lot of people, you know, express their support to us and support us in many other ways, but the funding, you know, first quarter was pretty tough, and it was very difficult to be proactive. I just felt like we were being very reactive, sort of taking things on a day-to-day basis, and also trying to convert what we were normally doing, which wasn't going to work, into a new virtual world, or just trying to figure out how to also express our needs while being sympathetic to the hardships that our community was facing. I found a lot of people were focusing more on human services, food bank for one. And it was important that we got our message out, and that we were able to, you know, explain to our sponsors that we needed assistance too. One thing that we did have to start, which was always on our on the back burner, but COVID sped up, was a program to help the community. So a pet food bank that supplied also supplies and flea meds and things like that. And so another challenge that I've been facing is that we're sort of channeling a lot of money through the shelter that's going out into the community, into community programs. And so our supporters who might have been supporting us that we could, you know, put into our operational budgets, a lot of those funds are now coming sort of through the shelter and assisting the community. So it's a different sort of makeup of where the money's going, which makes me need to fundraise even more. So it's been challenging. I'll talk a little bit more about how the course really, really helped me. I just found it was such a relief to kind of have a sense of what to do, because I picked up in this role without having any type of structure or plan. And so I was just kind of throwing everything together and going with it. So there have been a lot of changes. We've had a lot of challenge, but we had a strong December. Our supporters, we had a couple of major supporters come through, and we were very pleased.
That's fantastic. Good news. Stephen, you actually spent a lot of time on the nonprofit fundraising side before you joined One and All earlier this year. Actually, it was last fall that you joined. So what's this like, switching from being on one side and now you're helping people who are just like you?
After 20 years creating relationships and innovating in the nonprofit space, testing the limits, pushing the envelope, I just wanted to expand my influence. You know, I had influence within about a state and a half region, and I wanted to expand further into the social good space. One and All and I see eye to eye on innovation, on being collaborative, and they truly are the omni-channel expert. So we were kind of like a match made in heaven. Everything I had done in that space and everything that they are doing in this space, I'm just so grateful.
I heard a rumor that there is a dog named Maisie that lives with you.
It's a little bit of a secret because she doesn't know she's a dog. She thinks she's my two-legged daughter, and she's my office assistant, and she helps me all day long. Come here, Maisie, come here. Yeah, let's meet some friends. And here's my little Maisie. She's been sleeping and so patient while we talk here today. Oh, sorry, she's a little tired still. But yeah, Maisie is the absolute best. She's a Brussels Griffin. She's so healthy, and I think she's something like 10 or 11 years old now.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
You know, I didn't know if by now if it would look like I'm being attacked by a little Ewok or a Wookiee or anything like that, but she's been so good and respectful. So thank you for letting her join us today.
Absolutely. She's adorable. Absolutely adorable. What were your thoughts when you first found out that One and All was sponsoring this fundraising certificate program?
You know, this is such a natural fit for us. You know, we care so much about our partners' success. You know, we truly want partners at the table with us who can have a two-way dialogue, who can help us challenge the status quo and solve for the world's most pressing issues. And so, you know, that all starts with continued education just like this. You know, it's all of us growing our brains together so we can have better conversations to solve those issues. So this was a perfect opportunity for us to partner.
Well, we appreciate it greatly. Stephanie, what did you think? I know you were my first phone call, Stephanie, and I asked if you would do this, and you were, and I felt terrible asking you because I know how busy you are and I know what it's like to ask a very busy person to do something, but I really wanted your brain and your input and your insights. How did it go? What was it like for you to take the executive fundraising certificate course?
Actually, I want to just say a couple of things before we go there. And that was that I actually appreciated being asked. What I really love about this course is that it doesn't matter whether you are an organization that likes to bring in talent from outside of your current organization, or if you are an organization that likes to promote from within. The course has use for people coming in from outside of the sector, and it has use for people who are inside animal welfare and moving into fundraising. And so that for us as fundraisers in the animal welfare sector is absolutely critical, and it's a critical resource. I also wanted to speak to just very briefly why I think that One and All is a terrific partner for this course as well. And you know, we work with One and All. This is not meant to be a commercial for One and All in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not getting paid for this testimony. I think what I mostly want to share is that as an organization that, so there are two things that we as an organization in the fundraising department focus on. And one is what's the right incremental change that we need to be, what's the right incremental growth that we need to be focusing on as an organization? And where are the times where we need to jump on to moving towards transformational fundraising? And One and All has actually been a terrific partner to us as we've looked at transformational fundraising. So they partnered with us several years ago to sort of create this 5-year strategic oriented plan that is going to, you know, it's a longer term investment to grow our organization's fundraising successes. And we are seeing results from that. So I just want to give that plug for One and All. And but as far as this course goes, the course itself, you know, as chief development officers, we are organizational leaders first. We're collaborative partners to the community, to our operations, and to the donors. And then thirdly, we're fundraisers. And sometimes those positions shift over time. But being an executive fundraiser it's a big job, and we typically don't wear just one hat. We raise major gifts, we coach boards, we grow and develop our team members. We have to figure out ways to leverage our CEOs to the best of our ability, and we're the liaison between our donors and the organization. And as a result, our own professional development in fundraising tends to fall by the wayside. And we can get into this crazy mode of scrambling to wade through the ginormous amount of blogs and articles and journals that we have access to. I mean, everybody has their favorites that they, you know, sort of their go-tos that they always read, but there's just stuff coming at us all the time. And it can create a feeling, or I can often feel from it sort of an analysis paralysis, like, what do I read first? Or I just can't tell you how many times I've saved an article that I don't have time to read in that moment. And I have every intention of reading it later, and then I never get a chance to come back to it. Like, that's a missed opportunity. So the thing that's really cool that I found for the executive fundraising certificate through the association is that it helped to provide guardrails, or a framework, if you will, around all of the information that's actually out there, and also created a forcing function. And this is the part I love the best. It's sort of that forcing function around committing to personal fundraising growth and development. And as a seasoned fundraiser, some of the information that was, I mean, yeah, some of the information was, I know that already. And there's like a little tweak on the information that, you know, it was refreshed. It was refreshed information or a different spin. But some of the articles really pushed me to think differently about the work that I was doing. And the homework, which was the best part, the homework was, again, forcing me and driving me to apply it to my own work and my own challenges across my team. And so I really enjoyed the course, and I loved being a beta person for the course. And I think the other thing that I want to mention around this is, you know, again, we in animal welfare, a lot of us like to promote from within. And so how do we jumpstart that learning? I'm looking at bringing in another director of development to focus on major gifts. And I'm actually considering bringing somebody in for the first time, not from within my own team, and promoting them from within. And so the person that I'm looking at right now, one of the people I'm looking at right now, is coming in from a sales and marketing background. And how would she, you know, bring herself up to speed without having to go to, you know, a 3-day course in Chicago? This is self-paced. I can do it on the weekend. I can do it in the evenings. I can do it if I'm hitting a lull in my own work, in my own workforce or my own workflow. I can find time to spend on this. So it's been terrific. It was a really great course.
I love hearing that, because I feel better about myself, because I cannot tell you how many times I have found that one article that I want to read, and it's important, and I put it in the to read folder, and the chances of me actually getting back to it are not great. There's so much information out there. And so I really like how you appreciated the fact that this course helps focus you and keeps you on a trajectory where you're actually learning and growing, and you don't feel guilty at the end, mostly because you get a certificate, but still, I really, it's great to hear your feedback. I really appreciate it. Jenny, let's talk about you. Much like Stephanie, you have a background in sales and marketing as well, but nonprofit fundraising, brand new to you. You were a volunteer for a while before you got involved. So you had a little bit of knowledge about the organization and animal welfare, but as a brand new fundraiser, how did that course really appeal to you?
Well, the course, I was really excited to be invited, because I didn't know of anything out there that was related to professional fundraising in animal welfare. And that was the key that I was really excited about, was that this was all about our industry. And I mean, there's many classes out there that are about fundraising and development, but the fact that this one was put on by AWA, and it was, you know, it was going to be meaningful. I was really excited about the opportunity to have it concentrated around animal welfare. And so I thought that all the five modules were really, really relevant to everything that I was doing. And what I found it gave me was a direction and a base that I didn't have. I kind of didn't have a strategy or a direction to go in. And I was freaking out about that, because there was no plan. And it was just, you know, go make money and here's what you got to do. And having my strong suit is sort of one-to-one relationships and personal relationship building. And with COVID and the shelter being closed and not being able to speak to anybody face to face, I was kind of left wondering what to do and continue on with the programs as they were running. But I found that the course right from the get-go, it was put into the chapters were just perfect, starting from the very basics with terminology, which was just sort of it was nice to open with that, because it made me feel like, okay, we're really starting from the basics, whether we know this or not, this is a course for me. And then to work it up from there and to go through all the different modules, it helped me create a plan. I mean, part of it is you do create a draft fundraising plan for the next 6 months, and just being provided with all the different elements of all the different strategies that you could use was really, really helpful. So I still go back and listen to some of the modules or some of the parts, some of the things. It was great to hear that, okay, we are doing this, and Mike agrees with that. And he gives a logic behind why he believes you should do one thing or another, not just says, you know, you should have an annual giving or a monthly giving program. He provides the logic behind why, for example, you should convert a single annual gift donor to a monthly donor, and how that will actually help you in the long run. So I was able to understand the logic behind it, which was very helpful. So it's been great. I want my entire team to take it as well, because we're all kind of coming from, we're not coming from a fundraising background. So I was just really happy to have taken it.
Well, we're thrilled that you enjoyed it and benefited greatly. I am curious, Stephen, you had that boots on the ground fundraising. You spent many years in the same role that Jenny now holds and that Stephanie has. What do you feel is, in your opinion, now that you've been on both sides, what do you think the biggest benefit any potential partner can bring to a nonprofit relationship?
Yeah, so first off, this certificate program sounds amazing. I wish I went through this program, because this is the very kind of thing that I would go to my partners for. I mean, things like Jenny just said, direction and a base and a plan. That's absolutely amazing. And, you know, for me, to encapsulate what, you know, the benefit of having a partner does is, you know, a partner has the ability to look up and out, like on your behalf, you know, so that you can focus down and in on those things that are right in front of you. You know, a partner can bring to the table things that you may not have time to do on your own, like research and analytics. You know, they can help benchmark against other things to help you understand when you're being successful. You know, they can help you understand what the most relevant approaches are today to really truly solve those challenges that are in front of you. So you can be the expert that you are. You know, you can really be the person who has the relationships in the community, who knows what to do with that information, but it all comes from another source who's bringing it to you on your behalf.
I like that. I definitely feel that whatever agency you work with in fundraising, they have to understand you, and you have to share the same values and approach, because if you're not aligned in that way, it's not a very fun relationship. Yeah. So, well, we have a little bit of time left, and I'd love to hear from Stephanie. If you could impart any great words of wisdom to new fundraisers, especially right now with COVID and just everything we've gone through, what brilliant words of wisdom would you share with new fundraisers?
No, they're brilliant, but I actually have three philosophies that I'd like to share. Do we have enough time for three?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, perfect. So for new fundraisers, I'd say, and this is more of a recent learning for me, if you're not feeling stretched thin, then you're not doing as much in fundraising as you could be. And it might be a good idea to ask yourself why. Are you fearful of dropping the ball? Are you scared to overextend yourself? Mm-hmm. Are you afraid that you might not know exactly what you're doing all the time, like I encountered over this past year? And so I think all of that is okay. We should be stretched, we should be learning, and we're not going to do any of that perfectly. So that's philosophy number one. Philosophy number two that I'd like to share is that through time, I have finally figured out that the most important quality a fundraiser can have is curiosity. And some people call that humility in disguise. I like to call it curiosity. Curiosity about people, why they do things, what they're looking to accomplish through us as an organization. We should always be listening. It's been a huge struggle for me in my career to get into a curiosity mode rather than being in an advocacy mode. And when I say advocacy mode, I mean like telling you what you should think and telling you what you should feel and telling you why you should care about HSSV. Lovely that my boss got a chance to talk to me about it a couple of years in a row. Like, I really want you to focus on curiosity rather than advocacy. That has been really transformational for me with both donors and with my colleagues, and ironically with my husband as well. So I'm far more effective focusing on that. And then the third philosophy that I'd love to share is question everything. Never get comfortable with the status quo. Track and use data, talk to people, invite input, even if you can't use that input right this second. Talk to your donors, talk to your board, share info with your colleagues, get input from your volunteers. One of the most important things, be transparent with your boss. Share what you're struggling with, bring ideas to the table that others are most definitely going to throw up all over. There are going to be times that people are going to throw up all over your ideas. And use all of that information and socialization to propel you and your team forward. There are situations that require, as I mentioned earlier, incremental or methodical change. And then there are appropriate times to focus on transformational growth and take all of that listening and all of that perspective and use that info to help you make decisions around those things as well.
Wish that when I started in animal welfare 25 years ago, that you had learned those lessons and you would have told me then.
I wish I had learned those lessons a long time ago too. I'm kind of a thick skulled sometimes, so sometimes those lessons are a really hard one. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that with everybody so that others can learn from your experience. It's tremendous. So Jenny, now that you're, you know, 7-8 months into this new job, how has One and All, working with One and All, how have they helped you acclimate to your new role?
Well, we have been a One and All client for a while, and I wasn't familiar with direct mail or anything or the process. And that is really one of our major donation vehicles is definitely our One and All direct mail campaigns. We did fantastically this December. I mean, we really blew it away. And so how One and All has helped me transition is that they make it very easy. So the way that they provide proofs of the upcoming mailings that are going out, they make the process of editing that and the communication really easy. They're incredibly responsive. They assist with providing me all the analytics because I, you know, when I see all the numbers down with regards to the mail campaigns and stuff, I don't know what I'm looking at. And so they are able to translate it for me so that it makes sense to me so I can understand, oh, okay, these are the people on the mainland that are giving to us versus the people in Hawaii. And this is the kind of campaign that really seemed to respond well, or that people responded well to at this time of year. And so they are really able to provide a comprehensive breakdown in layman's terms to help me understand what it is that how our donors are behaving and how they're giving to us. They have a lot of neat different programs that you can use through One and All. So it's not just direct mail, which I thought it was, but they have, you know, the additional digital components and other things, like they can do our newsletter. And so they've been a really great resource, and I'm really grateful because they made my transition into this role very, very easy.
Stephen, tell us, why do you think One and All really is focused on their clients and helping them with continuing education?
You know, I think Stephanie said it best earlier, and so I've just got to like repeat this. I mean, you guys are just saying amazing stuff today. Helping professional fundraisers commit to professional growth. I mean, that's just so awesome. You know, we're all better in that respect. And the animal welfare sector is so very important to One and All. And we're so grateful for our longstanding relationship. In response to what Jenny just said, Jenny, you're not alone. First of all, that's amazing. I love to hear that testimonial. But I just received an email today. There's a donor behavioral analysis that's coming out that is going to show record-breaking results in our animal care sector for 2020. And I can't wait until you all can see that, because it has been a really, really good year. And this is exactly when we can all grow together, this is the outcome. You know, we all benefit. And all of our ships can rise with that level.
I'm really happy to hear that 2020 was good to the animal welfare sector in terms of fundraising. Having been fundraising during the 2008 economic crisis and just going through that, I, you know, of course, was like many fundraisers, very cautious when COVID happened. And so just hearing that news that you have data to support that it wasn't as bad as a year as we feared. So that's good. Obviously, we want everybody who's in fundraising or even thinking about fundraising, we'd love for them to participate in our learning center and pursue this fundraising certificate. But what are some other learning opportunities that each of you, I'd love for each of you to answer this. What else can we be bringing fundraisers through our learning center? What else would make you excited and make you feel that you were really growing and learning?
So I would say that one of the things that you all could support the fundraising and animal welfare the most with is actually courses in leadership and presence. And I say that because one of the things that I have noticed in my years in fundraising is that no matter how much someone is excited to do fundraising or wants to get in the fundraising field, there's this discomfort with talking to different, I would call them layers of people. So like, is there a way to help our fundraisers become more comfortable talking to anyone that's at any philanthropic capacity level or any organizational level or any community level? Because one of the things I notice the most is that people struggle with gravitas, how to bring their presence to the table and their confidence to the table in a way that has our supporters feeling more comfortable in investing in the work that we're doing. So I would love to see some courses in leadership and presence, gravitas, if you will. I would also love to see us, I have no idea how to make this happen, but I would love to see opportunities for people to actually do solicitation practice. Like it's almost like a Toastmasters practice group for fundraisers. Is there some way to do that in a very structured environment where people get a chance to see what they look like when they're soliciting a gift? They get to see what they look like when they're presenting information. They get to see what they look like when they're interacting with someone. Are they listening enough? Are they paying attention well? Are they interrupting? Are they, you know, all of the things that we as human beings struggle with, is there a way to help us get better at those skills? So less about the what and more about the how, I guess, for me.
I think it speaks to us as a society. We're sort of taught not to talk about money. You know, we're taught not to, you know, that's not polite conversation. So the idea of asking somebody for money is just horrifying. You know, and so I think that's a wonderful idea. And that's a great lesson that I think a lot of fundraisers have had to learn sort of on their own. And if they had a mentor to help them navigate that, it would be wonderful. But I'm liking your suggestion of actually going through a process that would help them attain those skills and that confidence to move forward. So I'm writing that down.
Yay.
Excellent. Thank you. Jenny, what do you want to answer that question?
Sure. On the completely opposite end of the spectrum, at the granular level, so I've been tasked with creating a planned giving legacy program as well as a major donor program. And so for me, I would love to have kind of more of some of the basics, sort of how do you develop a legacy program? What are the steps? What are the frameworks? What is the framework? How you can engage people. And again, for I guess every topic, some sort of action items about how to navigate in the new virtual world. So it's just not as easy to invite everyone in for, you know, for dinner or special dinner at the shelter or something like that. So what are some of the strategies we can use to have the same impact without doing these face-to-face meetings? So yeah, I would say planned giving, major donor, I could do a whole course on sort of analyzing the data in our Razor's Edge donor database system. I remember the first time you asked me, what's your average donation? And I was like, I don't know. I went and found out. But, you know, that was the first time that I thought even about starting to dig into that. So, you know, a lot has happened in 7 months, but just from a very basic point, things like that would be really helpful.
Okay.
Can I jump in and say one funny thing that I think, so Jenny, one of the other things that I'd like to share, my philosophies are when someone asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, I mean, obviously the answer is either, you know, I don't know, let me go find out, or it depends. It depends which channel do you want to look at, which, you know.
I could have used that. Thank you.
You could have hedged that a little bit. Yeah.
Stephen, what about you?
Depends.
See, well, there's your advice, Stephanie. In yeah.
You know, what I think is really interesting to hear what you all are suggesting too, because I think it all comes together, you know, and I would say stand in the middle and be a creator of authentic connections, you know. So like as fundraisers, sometimes we feel like we're on islands all out there by ourselves, and the reality is we're not. I mean, one of us might be on Maui right now, but you know, like that's just a physical thing. And in reality, you know, we're all in this together, right? We all are doing the same thing. And so the more that we have a platform to authentically connect one to another, to practice solicitations and to learn some leadership gravitas and all of that, best practices, you know, where to, what questions even to ask with data, you know, if you will, you know, the better we'll all be in the authentic connections we have with our supporters, you know, the authentic way that we share our mission with them and that. So I absolutely love this conversation, and I would just throw that out for a next step.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for having this conversation and being a part of the association's continuing learning environment. We are excited about being able to support fundraisers and animal welfare, and I hope that this is just the beginning of future conversations that we can have with you all to help make our animal welfare sector stronger, to help us to grow professionally, and to really advance animal welfare, which is what we're all about. So thank you all so much, and I hope that we will see you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.